You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Pleased to be joined by Mr. Scott Merkin, who, Merk, you're off to a better start than the White Sox, I would say. Your writing has been sound, technically sound, polished.
Excellent.
The White Sox are struggling a bit.
Even got the new Facebook page up and going. You know, we're going even a little extra.
Yeah. You're a multimedia superstar, as we established in spring training. That's been good to see. So, the White Sox, on the other hand, in the midst of a slow start, already called up Carlos Rodon. I wouldn't have guessed he'd be up this soon. Maybe you're less surprised than I am. What's your take on him coming up and joining the bullpen here in April?
No, I wasn't surprised as you are, Anthony. We had talked about it during our there were three day games in Detroit over the weekend, which is kind of rare. So a lot of time to sit and talk in the press box. And we kind of guessed that just looking at the land of things, you know, probably like they play in Minnesota the last series in April, which leads into the beginning of May. And we figured maybe that one or maybe, you know, the homestand after that where he'd be part of the rotation. And, again, that's not taking anything away from John Danks or Hector Noesi because – Chris Sale, Jeff Samardzija, and Jose Quintana, barring an unexpected injury, are pretty much locked in. But Don is a difference maker. He's kind of a game changer to throw all the cliches out there. But it's interesting that he came up now as, you know, bullpen. Now, Robin talked Friday and was pretty demonstrative about, you know, because Friday was Chris Bryant Day, of course, in Chicago, and was pretty demonstrative that just because one top prospect came up, they're not going to bring, you know, theirs up. And there had to be a need. Well, there appears to be a need with Javi Garrett going on the disabled list, you know, retroactive to April 13th. So we'll start in the bullpen, and it could be a stint in the bullpen about as long as until Javi Garrett gets healthy and comes back from the disabled list.
And it could end up being a spot in the rotation, as we know, as you alluded to. That's where Rodon's future is. And there have been some struggles in the back end rotation, Danks in particular. What have you seen from Danks here early on? I know he thinks it's not as bad as the over 6 ERA would indicate, but what have you seen from him?
Yeah, you know, in general, the rotation has not had a great start. They had four quality starts in their first 11 games, and as strong as the bullpen has been overall, that's going to be, you know, the group that kind of drives them is the starting rotation. And, you know, Danks is a different pitcher. We've said this a bunch of times, and he's probably tired of being interviewed about it or tired of hearing it, but he's a different pitcher than the guy before the arthroscopic surgery in, I believe it was 2012. And, you know, I think even a couple years removed now, he's still trying to find that groove. You know, he's working with a new arm slot, a little lower. He's working with a different leg kick in the delivery. Just trying to, you know, keep the ball in the ballpark. That's been his biggest foible over the last couple of years is too many home runs. And he's still a solid pitcher. He had runs last year. He had, you know, six or seven start runs where his ERA was around two. So he can get it done. It's not like he's, you know, can't do anything, but, you know, he's just a different guy. And I think, you know, people talk about him in comparison to like a Burley style. I mean, his delivery actually even looks a little like Mark Burley right now. And I think, you know, that's what they're looking for. Obviously, Mark Burley's had a great career, just won his 200th game. But I think, you know, if they can get, they're looking at John as more a 30-start, 200-inning guy and get the best they can out of him. Now, that's not selling him short, but I think, you know, they just don't envision him as a top one or two guy in the rotation at this point.
Right. And with Rodon, I mean, as you said, this could be a short-term bullpen situation. That seems best for Rodon to not be a long-term bullpen option for them just because he's got to develop as a starter. That's his future, no?
Well, yeah, it is his future. But remember, Chris Sale, who's now one of the best starters in Major League Baseball, served, a year and change as, you know, as a reliever and did a pretty darn good job of it and transitioned pretty well. Now, you know, Carlos has never, much like Chris, has never done that really, you know, in worked in relief consistently. So it'll be interesting to see if they do keep him there or if this is just kind of a short-term apprenticeship until they figure out some way to move him into the rotation. Ultimately, and long-term, for whatever length Chris or Carlos Rodon is here, whether it's 7 years, 15 years, he's a starting pitcher. There's no question about it. Now, could it be that he adds some sort of unbelievable intangible to that bullpen and maybe is a guy who can do a little what, you know, Brandon Finnegan did for the Royals last year in the playoffs, and, you know, a starter goes five innings, Carlos Rodon comes in and pitches the sixth and seventh and really kind of bridges the gap into the late-inning guys. Possible he could also, you know, be a late-inning guy. But, again, I don't – even this year, in the bullpen, I don't see it being a long-term thing. And again, you know, Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams and Robin Ventura and Don Cooper will have more say on that, but just my opinion, I think he's going to be a starter sooner than later.
And it seems like that could be where their need arises. Jose Quintana's early struggles, we talk about Danks, he's not counted on to be a front-of-the-rotation guy, but obviously Quintana is that kind of a guy for them. He's part of their big three, so to speak. Two of his first three starts have been very rough. What are your thoughts on his early struggles?
You know, I think just a little off with his location right now, and that's going by what Tyler Flowers was saying after the game in Detroit on Sunday. And it's interesting because, you know, Suspedes took him deep twice, and one thing Quintana does not do is give up the home run much. So I think he'll get things right. You know, he's one of those guys who kind of flies under the radar, partially because the man has 40 no decisions since he became a starter, which leads the major leagues, but also because, you know, he doesn't have, like, Chris Sale's stuff or Jeff Samardzija's stuff. He's got good stuff, but all he does is put up good numbers, you know, 200 innings, 30-some starts, you know, ERA in the mid-threes, which is pretty darn good in the American League. And, you know, he's done that for a couple of years. If Quintana had only done it for, like, over a 20-start period in 1 year and then had this rough start, you know, it's only three starts, you'd say, okay, maybe it's time to keep an eye on. But I think he'll be fine. I think it's just, you know, much like hitters who start the year 6-for-30 or 6-for-40 when they have nothing to base it off of, it looks worse than it is right now at the start of the season.
And on that very note, Merck, Adam Eaton struggles at the top of the order. Kind of set the tone, I think, for the overall picture here. You know, like you said, if he goes in a rut like this, I think it's gone on long enough that it would be noticed if it was midseason, but obviously not. It wouldn't be quite as panic-inducing as it is at the start of the season, but just his troubles trying to get things going for the lineup. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, no question. I think he's 6-for-44. He was 6-for-44 as of the end of that road trip, you know, with the loss to Detroit. And Robin Ventura had a great comment after the game where he just said, you know, everything Eaton does is kind of high energy, high speed, and he's very tough on himself. And he almost needs him to take a step back and just kind of relax a little bit. And I think Eaton would tell you that he's, you know, he's fine. He enjoys playing the game and all that, and it's just a slump. And he went through a few of these last year. But I think the longer it goes, and, you know, it has nothing to do with the contract. He's not trying to live up to the contract. He did tell me earlier in the year in an off-day story I did, you know, back after the first game that, you know, he wants to be better than the contract. So I think a small part, you know, that plays on his mind. But I don't think that's driving him. I don't think he's going out there and saying, I'm 0-for-4 and I got this big contract in spring training. I just think he's in a slump. He's in a rut right now. And he'll get through it. You know, he's a good player. Again, it's not like he, you know, hasn't had success before. And, you know, Ventura's words are good ones, that he should probably just take a step back, kind of relax. I wouldn't be surprised this homestand that, you know, he gets a day off somewhere in there if the slump continues. Just kind of a mental health break, just to kind of sit back and get a different perspective of the game, maybe give J.B. Shuck and a start to go out there and give Eaton a little rest.
Well, I was I did a column last week talking to Robin Ventura about,
right,
these early issues and his even keeled demeanor. I'm sure there's some segment of the fan base that would like to see him screaming at him, Adam Eaton in the dugout, you know, with these early struggles. That's just not Ventura's personality, and that's a thing. A slow start like this, you got to keep it all in perspective. 162-game season.
Well, here's the thing that changes with the offseason that Rick Hahn put together is, you know, I was at Sox Fest when they had a lot of these new additions come in, and it was very much like a revival session. You know, I mean, it was probably just short of the celebration after they won the World Series. That's how excited fans were. But now the caveat to that is, if you have that excitement and you start off 4-7, and the Tigers and Royals don't start off 4-7 and start off in, you know, the 10-2, 9-2 range, well, then you get that same level of negative thought, you know, going in the reverse direction. So now it goes from, oh, my God, we're going to win the World Series this year, we're going to at least be a playoff team, to what a disaster, we're 4-7, fire the manager, do this and do that. Now, I mean, is Robin even perfect? I'm sure he'd be the first to say he hasn't been perfect. You know, in that game, the famous game Friday now, the most famous, what was it, game 9 of the season for the White Sox. You know, in the ninth inning when the call was kind of up in the air, he probably should have challenged it just because that was the winning run at second base with nobody on him. What did he have to lose at that point? But he did. It's done. And you move on from that. But it's very easy because of the fact that, you know, as the old saying goes, you're not going to fire 25 guys. So it's very easy just to point to the manager and say, you know, time for a change. He's not this enough. He's not that enough. If he was too boisterous, they'd probably say, you know, he doesn't have enough control of the team. He's always, you know, he's always out there. So you can't win on that. And Robin Ventura, I think, has the good sense and good viewpoint that he just focuses on what he has to do. He doesn't worry about kind of the outside noise and from us or from the fans or anything else. And everyone's entitled to their opinion. I get it. Fans are not happy with a 4-7 record. But you can't blame starting rotation starting slowly or the hitters hitting below their norm just on Robin Ventura. That makes no sense. These are professionals, and this is a veteran team. We're not talking about a team full of first and second-year players. These are guys who have done it and done it well many times. You know, look at Melky Cabrera playing in a World Series team. And they're going to come around, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they do come around and start winning, will Robin get the credit then? It's a thankless job. You know, unless you win it all, it's pretty much a thankless job.
That it is, Merck. That it is. That is the job of Scott Merkin himself. So I want to thank you for joining us, as always, Merck, and thank everybody for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extra, Chicago White Sox edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.